Praise the Lord. Wow. What an exciting time. Exciting time of being together. What the Lord has done in people's lives. Just hearing some of the testimonies. I know that's just a fraction. People are a little nervous to get up and to share that something was broken in their life or they got victory. Or sometimes they don't even recognize what's happened. It kind of unfolds. It's like a flower blooming and the rose petal, it hasn't come out to fullness, and they just don't understand. They don't recognize. They don't realize the work of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to say this to you before I get into any other things, is that when the Holy Spirit touches you and moves in your life, there is a reaction. There's a reaction. Sometimes we it's outward. We, you know, some people get very emotional or expressing things that God's breaking. Sometimes it's not really that outwardly, you know, but it's felt. But the thing is that when that anointing of God, when that the presence of God comes upon an individual like that, it will start to blossom on the inside and there'll be an effect. But we must, and I said this in one of the services, we must facilitate it in the sense, we must steward it, is probably a better word. We steward what God starts to do and is doing in our life. So he's doing things in all of us, which is wonderful. I do want to thank Pastor Tony and Pastor Lily again for just their graciousness, their kindness, their heart. They really want to see you ministered to. You online, they want to see you touched. They wish that they could bring you here. Some reasons, you know, some people can't be here. And the other reason is this is mostly for leaders. But they're bringing you here through the live stream. So please don't feel left out. We know you're there. God knows you're there. The Holy Spirit, there's no wall in that sense. And thank God, through technology, you can get this live. And I believe the power of God and the Spirit of God will touch you and minister to you, even if you're not physically in this room. Because it's not me, it's not us, it's not our words, but it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. I want to do something this morning before I get into the message. Can we just stand? Can we stand? And can we, out of our heart, now I know the music's not playing, but out of our heart, give thanks to God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Come on, church. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. God, thank you for what you did. You raised, God. You raised. Lord, thank you so much, Lord. We're so excited. We're so thankful for what you did, and what you are doing. Lord, we give you praise and we honor you. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you. We not only invite you, but we're desperate for you. We crave you. We crave you, Holy Spirit, to come and to touch and to minister in our lives. Lord, to manifest your presence in each one of us, Lord. Fill every area in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can stand if you like. You could try to swing off the chandeliers, but I'll tell you, they're pretty high. You might be careful. This one's a little rickety. This one's a little slippery. I'm torn between the two. You know, Pastor James, this reminds me of the three boats that we had to cross over to a little ramp. I want to tell you this. Please understand my English. But when you're older, my wife's beautiful. I love her so much. But when you're older and you're trying to do these things that years ago, that's nothing to cross those boats. I mean, I was a firefighter. But to cross them now, and at my age, and to have these young men, I call them young men, they're my kids' ages. They're in their 40s. That's really not young anymore. But to have like Pastor Ephraim Strong, and he's holding me like I'm a little girl, you know, because, you know, and I tell you, it looks ugly to me, not him, but me. I'm like, I'm trying to cross these, and I'm thinking, oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. Oh Jesus, he's so good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The foundation of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the foundation. The Bible tells us in Romans 4:25 that he died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. And it's just the amazing thing, the transference. You know, we get his righteousness. He took on our sins. I mean, there's tons and tons of things that have happened and that are happening. And I want to touch on a few things, and I pray that I can do a good enough job to relay what I feel the Holy Spirit has been downloading on my heart. Last night when I went home, it felt like, went back to my room, felt like the Lord was giving me more things. And then this morning, just trying to pray through it and just see what God is doing. But before I talk about the resurrection, I would like to mention some of the amazing things that took place before Jesus Christ was raised. There's a number of things. Of course, we know his life on the earth and the ministry, the miracles, all those things that happened. But there's just a bunch of amazing things. One of them is the amount of prophecies that were fulfilled in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. The amount of prophecies that were fulfilled, they say just to fulfill 48 of the prophecies. Now, he fulfilled a lot more than that, and I'll give you the number. But just to fulfill 48 of the prophecies for one man to do that, The actual chance of it would be 1 in 10 with 157 zeros behind that 10. I don't even know what that number is. 10 with 150 zeros behind it. What is that? Gazillion? Bazillion? Astronomical manillion? I mean, I don't know what that number is. But, and that's just 48 prophecies. Do you know what they say? That our Lord fulfilled over 324 prophecies. Over that. Over. So the number, we don't even, we're like, we don't have a number for that. We don't have understanding for that. That's because first of all, Jesus is God, God the Son. And he's amazing, and what God did to prove to human beings, both people of maybe a little bit lesser, not intelligence, but maybe lesser education, to people of very high education, he did all these things so that even the number, the calculation is beyond human reasoning. That was one of the things, and I think, wow, that's so amazing that he fulfilled all these things. Another amazing thing that happened before the resurrection, it actually happened when he was being crucified, is found in Luke chapter 23 and verses 44 and 45. And it says, it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. This is as Jesus is dying on the cross. To help us grasp or understand this event before the resurrection and why the sun refused to shine. It was not just a dark day. The sun was refusing to shine. The sun was being extinguished. And for us to understand this, I want to submit this thought to you. I want to submit this to you. If we look at creation and how God created everything, how he created the heavens and the earth, and the process of creation could have been described this way, and I submit this to you, that the Father thought it first. Creation was in the mind of God, in the mind of the Father first. He thought about it. He thought about all the details. He was weighing. The Bible tells us that he weighed the earth with a drop of water and a grain of sand. I'll tell you, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. He weighed the earth with that. The mind of God figuring out, calculating. Just think of this earth and how it spins and the weight and to keep it on balance. And there's trucks moving all over this planet. There are waves doing different things. The water is high tide and low tide, like, you know, you guys understand that. And there's people moving back and forth. And he knew how to balance everything. He was thinking how this would all happen. And he balanced it. God, the Father, thought it first. The Father thought about creation. It was first in the mind of God. And then the Son of God, Jesus, spoke it. In John 1, in verses 1 and 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." The Word of God, Jesus speaking in creation. Jesus speaking in creation. And then we see the Holy Spirit in creation. Genesis 1 in verse 2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering," or brooding. That word means brooding. Maybe many of you probably know that. "Over the waters," in a sense of birthing, making, or forming, the Holy Spirit was doing. So if we can think of it this way, in creation, the Father thought it, the Son spoke it, and the Holy Spirit produced it. The process of the Godhead in action doing all these. So now let's move forward and get to this point in Luke where it says the sun stopped shining. I believe that when Jesus, the Word of God, was physically dying on the cross, the one who said, "Let there be light," the Father thought it, the Son spoke it, and the Holy Spirit produced it in that power. When this Word of God physically is dying on the cross, all of a sudden, the sun starts to be extinguished. It was one of the first things in creation, right? One of the first things now to go. The Word of God, the physical embodiment, God in the flesh. Let me just say something. Before I go any further, a lot of times people don't recognize the humanity of Jesus. Jesus many times is called Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of Man. And why I say that is because if we look at the miracles that Jesus did and we look at him as just God, then we are just spectators. Because God is the only one can do that. But if we look at him and understand that he is the God-man, he's God in the flesh, but the flesh was born Jesus Christ, then we recognize we're no longer spectators. We can be participants. We can participate in the miracle power of God. Not that it's of us, but it comes down in and through. And so we can participate. And we understand, of course, the deity of Jesus Christ. God, and all man. The sacrifice that he did when he was crucified and he was raised, he is still still a resurrected man, God. I mean, can we realize that? I mean, sometimes it's even hard to grasp, but he is forever a resurrected man and God. And it's just amazing what he did, the sacrifice and what he did for us to bring us. His heart was to bring us. You watching at home or in the other church, his heart is for you. He longs for you. He longs for you to come into fellowship and to know him and to be able to have that closeness and be embraced by him. So here, I believe that as Jesus is dying on the cross, one of the first words in creation, "Let there be light," is being retracted. And the sun, the Bible says the sun stopped shining or refused to shine. The Greek word elepiko in Luke for the sun stopped shining means the sun having failed. Failing. The sun having failed. It's being pulled back. Something's happened. This is all before the resurrection. I also believe that there was a sovereign act of the Father to reignite the Son at one point so that creation would not be eradicated. Because without the Son, Pastor Lily, we wouldn't last very long. The planet would get cold. You know, they call the zone that scientists call this zone the Goldilocks zone. In other words, everything is come together. They look at it as almost like it's impossible when you look at everything else in space. But in this zone for Earth, we're not 10 feet closer or 20 feet further away from the sun. And we're at such an angle and all this for life. Not only to exist, but to thrive. But to thrive. The mind of God. And we think God can't solve a problem because we don't have 1,000 pesos to pay an electric bill. The mind of God. The mind of God. Let me give you this. I'm kind of going off my notes a little bit here. But let me give you this. Sometimes we hinder God's provisions coming to us when we pray and then our mind, and a lot of times the devil, he's slick. A lot of times we'll get this thought, oh, you know, I need $5,000. Wow, I'm going to this meeting and you know, there's this rich brother over there. You know, maybe God will use him. You know what that does? That takes your faith from here and puts it here. It takes it off. It takes the faith, the eye of faith off of the provider and puts it on where it might come from. Resist that. We have no idea. No idea where resources are going to come from. But they do. They do as we trust the Lord. So here I believe the Lord, the Father had to do a sovereign act and reignite the sun, so that creation would not be destroyed and the planet would not be finished. I cannot prove this thought, but I'm just going to tell you, this is an interesting thought, and you can pray about it. You don't have to make a doctrine on it, but this is just a thought that when Satan, because you know it was him, if the Bible says, if he would have known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He had no idea all about the salvation and all these other things. But I think in the mind of the enemy, he was thinking that if I kill, he knew who Jesus was now because of all, he knows who he is. You remember the temptation of in the wilderness. He knew everything. And so he thinks possibly, this is a thought, that if I kill the word, the physical word of God, if I kill it, the sun goes out, things start to get retracted, this creation is finished, God is so grieved that he has to make creation over again. And on this next go around, I'm not calling myself Satan, but Satan is thinking, I would have an advantage now because I know I already went through this thing and I understand. And so I believe he was hoping that not only crucifying him, but wipe everything out and then have God have to redo the things on the earth because of all the promises that were said. But he didn't understand the power of God. He didn't understand God. Anyway, it's an interesting thought. Don't build a doctrine on it. It's just an interesting thought. Something to think about. Our Lord breathes his last on the cross. Then there is another amazing event that takes place. The resurrection of dead people. The resurrection of dead people. The resurrection of people physically coming out of graves is supposed to happen at the very end of time. I won't get into that. But anyway, so the resurrection of dead people that's supposed to take place at the end is now displayed. We see this in Matthew 27, verses 50 and 52. It says that when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice and gave up his spirit, at that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Could you imagine that? Someone that had died years ago that you knew, they come knocking on your door. Hey, it's me. And you're like, ah! It was a testament, testifying to who Jesus is. It's like a power wave from God is being released. The sun is being reignited. Dead people are popping out of graves. I mean, that's really happening. That's not a cartoon. It's not a fantasy. You know, this age, this generation, I think you said it, Pastor James, about fantasies. You know, people are given over to fantasies and cartoons and superheroes and things that aren't real. One of my son-in-law is not a Christian, and we go back and forth and we talk all the time. He's got more faith in Marvel characters than he has in reality. This is not a fairy tale. This is something that happened, and I want to give you, besides the scripture, I want to talk to you about some proof. Some real proof. The scriptures are real, of course, but some other proof besides the scriptures. But we'll get into that in a little bit. The curtain is being torn in two, which we know that means the Holy of Holies is being opened now to us. This is all testifying to who Jesus is and the power of his majesty. And this all happens before the resurrection. Then Christ descends. The Bible tells us that he descended into the lower regions. He descends into the lower regions of the earth, and he takes back the keys of death and of Hades, or death and of hell. That's Revelations 1 and verse 18. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, but and now behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. This is all happening before the resurrection. He went and broke the powers of hell that have stolen the keys that Adam and Eve had. Ripped them out of their hands through deceit. I could go into something prophetic right now. I'm going to pull it back. I'll leave it for later. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is told now from the four Gospels from different angles. Don't ever trip up on the different details. Don't let the enemy play with your mind and say, well, why does this gospel say this? The main thing is he rose. They're all point. You're seeing the resurrection from different angles. From different angles as the resurrection was happening. And it's not a fantasy. It's very, very real. It's not only displayed in Scripture, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pastor Lily, you said it this morning. I was like, I hope she doesn't go any further. She's going to steal my message. But it's also displayed through the countless lives that Jesus Christ has saved, touched, healed, restored. The countless lives just in this generation, but what about the 2,000 years? I mean, how many people? I have no clue. How many lives have been touched? How many people in that day will stand up and testify how God saved them and brought them out of addictions and problems and demonic things? How many? For 2,000 years, and it's still going. We don't know when the Lord's going to return. We think it's going to be sometime soon. It looks like it as we look at like the fig tree, like he told us, look at the season. Look, it looks, keep looking at Israel. That's a good gauge to help you find it. But since the resurrection, I didn't know if I was going to share this or not. I'm not proud of my past life. Now, I'm not a Hindu, so I don't believe in many, many lives, but I'm talking about my life before Christ. Before Christ. I'm not proud of my past life. I know Pastor Tony said the Sicilian, the mafia, you don't know how close that is with my relatives, actually. But I want to give my testimony. I believe whether someone here or somebody online needs to hear this. Because to me, people's testimonies are also speaking the proof of the resurrection of what Christ has done. I grew up in a Catholic home. In New York, when you're Italian and you're a New Yorker, you're a Catholic. It just goes probably like here in the Philippines, a lot of Catholicism. And I was dead in my sins. I started drinking alcohol at 11 years old. Now, I'm not a young man. So back then, that was not like, oh, yeah, you know, these kids are drinking. I mean, today, you know, it's younger and younger. But in my day, that was unusual. I started drinking at 11 years old. By the time I was 13, I was already smoking weed, pot, ganja. I don't know what you call it here, but you know what I'm talking about, stuff that you get high. I went from that. I started getting into harder drugs. And then I started to deal drugs with a man that was prospecting for the nomads. And this Nomads is a motorcycle group, not as big as the Hells Angels, but very large in the New York, Long Island area. And they're murderers, they're killers, they're rapists. Well, I was dealing drugs with this man. And I was about 16 years old, and I had a number of incidences when I was with them. We robbed. I remember we wanted to get wine one day. So we pulled up in front of a closed liquor store, found a cement block and threw it through the plate glass window, jumped in like animals, grabbed what we want and took off while the alarms are going off. I remember I've shot at several people. I'm not proud of that. There's a point that you get to when you're using drugs and different things that you can get to where the enemy, I know I had demons on me. I know it. I know it because when I got saved, I felt them leave. So here I am now. I'm about 16 years old. I'm dealing speed. And when I say I'm dealing, I was actually packaging it for sale. We used to package Anyway, I won't go into the details, but little spoons. We used to have little spoons of speed, and we would deal. And so I was also using it. So this man, I didn't know this. I knew that when he got high, he was dangerous. And I'm in his house. And so he says to me, he says, Mike, the speed is beat. In other words, it's not strong. It's not good. And I was always afraid of needles, so I wouldn't inject it, but I would do it orally. Just take it like that, and you'd get high. I mean, you'd be high for 12, 14, 18 hours. And so he said, it's beat. Take it again. Take it again. Take it again. So I was starting to almost overdose on it, and he was trying to kill me, and I didn't know this. He wanted to take me. He had a spirit of murder on him. And so here I am. I'm 16 years old. I'm now away from the table with all the speed. I'm sitting on a recliner. I'm high as a kite. I'm drinking a beer and I'm smoking a joint, you know, grass. 16 years old. The next thing I know, I feel this on the side of my head and a click. He had picked up a .22 rifle, stuck it to my head and pulled the trigger, and the bullet never left the chamber. God's my witness. Never left. I smacked the gun. I went to get up. Now, I'm only 16 years old. He's 29. He's a biker. He's big. I'm a skinny kid. And I'm trying to get away from him, and I'm high as a kite. And as I try to get towards the door, he grabs me and throws me, gets on top of me, and he's just pounding. And I'm telling you, I bit his face. I grabbed his hair. I tried to swing at him. He would pick me up then, and he'd throw me again. And he jumped on me again. He's trying to kill me. He's trying to murder me. And he did that a number of times. And he threw me one time. When I hit the floor, I happened to hit the floor right in front of the screen door. And I was able. Now, if you would have saw me yesterday, you would think, how did this guy get up like that? Because I'm trying to get on those boats and all that. But when I hit the ground, I was 16 then. I jumped up and I dove right through the screen door. I just dove through it. I fell down the stairs. I ran off to the side, and he came out, and he came looking for me. He couldn't find me. I was hiding. I could see him. He didn't see me. He got in his Corvette, and he drove like a maniac up and down. He wanted to catch me. One of the shootings I had was I shot at him at a later date, but unfortunately, I was using a shotgun, which is only good, really, killing range from about here, maybe a little bit more past that door, maybe a little bit more. And he was further than that. I think I hit him and hit his car. And anyway, so here, what's that, honey? Well, yeah. At the time, it was unfortunate. No, don't be scared of me. I'm trying to tell you what, and many of you have a testimony that's powerful. It's not just me, but I got the mic, so you got to listen. So here I continue to go on. I almost overdosed on drugs that day. I would carry either a .38 pistol, my wife can verify this, or I carried a Bowie knife in my car. And one of the things that happened when he couldn't kill me, Pastor Tony, he put a contract on me to take me out. And so I was living under fear. I couldn't stay with my back up against glass, always up against the wall. Anytime I heard tires screech because somebody, I would jump. I was living in anxiety. And this happened. My wife was there. We're coming back to where we were staying, and somebody's following us. Now, I'm not saved yet. I'm still unsaved. Somebody's following us. It's late at night. We've had a couple of drinks. I'm going home. They're following me with their bright lights. So now I'm thinking, this is starting to get under my skin a little bit. I'm worried about this. We pull into our driveway, and at that time our driveway was very long. It was from here to the back wall. And so we pull in the driveway. The car comes real fast behind us. I said to her, I shut the car off. I gave her the keys. I said, run, get in the house, lock the door, call the police. I said, I'm going to kill the first person that comes out of that car behind us. Because usually when they do a hit like that, there's a couple of guys. And so, I actually told her, I said, I don't know if I'll be able to get the second guy. Because usually the second guy's going to shoot you. And so as soon as the car stopped, I grabbed my Bowie knife, I spun around, I ran, and the man jumped out of the driver's side. He jumped out. I grabbed him by the collar, and I was going like this. I was going to come up here with this Bowie knife, and I saw his face. He was my best man, the best man at my wedding. He was playing a joke, and I'll tell you, it was I stopped. Normally, you can't stop when you're in. And I'm telling you, I wasn't going like, oh, I'm going to stab you. I'm going. You go full force. You put your body into it to put that blade. Oh, forgive me, Jesus. I stopped by the grace of God. I almost killed my best man, and he's laughing, and his name is John Thebold. And I said, John, look. And he looked down and he saw that shank, that blade, right there, right at his belly button. And his face, he went like this. Well, by God's grace, you know, even when you're not saved, God protects you. You know, I don't know how God stopped that bullet. He stopped me from killing my best man. And it was a little while after that, I became a firefighter, got away from drugs, but I got into drinking heavily again because of all that I saw as a firefighter. And then one day, as I'm in my home, my wife and I, we're watching the 700 Club. Back then, he's gone home to be with the Lord, Pat Robinson, and he's talking, you know, he's preaching, but he's talking really nice. Well, and he says, he gets to the point, he said, wherever you are, you know, stop. And, you know, and he talks about accepting the Lord. Accept the Lord just as you are. You know, we come just as we are, but the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to stay like that. Jesus says, come. Come with all the problems, everything else, and the Holy Spirit is on the other side and kind of, okay, come on, get into exercise. You know, stop being that way, you know, and get, well, I was at that point, come as you are. And so I came and we're watching this and I thought in my mind, you know, I had pride. I said, my wife's next to me. I'm not going to go in front. I'm not going to, you know, kneel down in front of the TV. And so I just thought, oh, no, I can't do it. I can't. And I never heard Pat Robinson preach like this. To this day, I don't know if it was him or not, but both my wife and I heard this. This is what we heard. You in your living room, get down on your knees now. And I hit the ground and weeping and crying. And I'm praying the sinner's prayer and I'm just crying and crying and crying. And I can feel things coming off of me. I could feel a lightness. And then after, I don't know what the time frame was, after a little while, and I'm sobbing, and I thought, oh, my wife just saw all of this, and I turned, and there she is right next to me. She had the same experience, and God saved us. God, it's proof. Listen, some of you have doubt in your mind. It's proof of the resurrection. It's the power of God in people's lives. What God has done. I've lost track of my time. What time are we at? The power of God. The power of God working in people's lives. So many lives have been touched and changed. And the enemy tries to get you to scope into our little world and tell us, you know, is this real? Is this true? Yes, it is. Yeah, we've had, and please understand, I'm not saying this from a place of pride. I'm saying it because of the teaching and preaching, what we're talking about, and to glorify the Lord, to glorify Him. You at home, we're glorifying the Lord. But we have seen absolute miracles. Many of you have, I'm sure. But the miracles testify. Jesus told His disciples to at least believe for the sake of the miracles. The miracles testify to His resurrection, His majesty, and who He is. We had this happen just very recent, maybe a month ago. We were preaching in the church that we are part of, and they do like a Friday night fire. Oh, you like fire. Friday night fire. I'm only playing the 50s. And in that time, we were praying for quite a number of people. But there was a lady about 43 years old, and I was surprised at her age. She had had a stroke. And her arm was like this, and her face was kind of this side. Usually the same side gets affected, but her right side was affected, and her left arm, but her arm was like this. And she came up for prayer for something else, and we prayed for her. And then I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, pray for her hand. Pray for her. So we started to pray for her, and she goes, I can't move my hand. I said, okay. I said, well, let's pray. We prayed for her. I said, just move it. So she goes like this, and she looks at us. She goes, I can't do that. I said, well, you just did. She said, but I can't do that. I've had a stroke years ago. I can't move my arm. I said, well, you just did. I said, okay, now wait a minute. Let's pray again. This is called working a miracle. So we prayed again. I said, move it again. So she's got it here now, and she goes, I can't do that. I said, yeah, you just did. And I said, well, let's pray again. And we prayed again. And right, honey? And her hand's up here. And so the pastor of the church, he's watching all this. And I said, Pastor Hector, she just got a miracle. He goes, I know, I can see it. And then Pastor Pat is talking to her and looks at her face. I didn't realize it. And her face straightened out while it's happening. Is it because of my good looks? Oh, God, help us. Help us. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I give you one more? Can I just give you one more? This one is what we would call unusual miracles. Something unusual. And like I said, maybe you guys have experienced. I never experienced one. I'm kind of in this category. But there was a lady in the church, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. I released this word of knowledge, and I didn't see what was happening, because in some of the churches they have the lights on you, and you can't see half of the people. But when I released this word of knowledge, and that's all I did, I was just a messenger. I didn't do anything else. It's God. All glory to Him. The testimony that came back, that the lady came back to us, was this. She said, when you released that word of knowledge, and I don't even remember what it was, she said, a power wave, blast of hot air, hit me and my whole family in the row back here and knocked us all back. I said, wow. Well, that's something. She said, well, I got up. And she said, when I got up, she said, the Lord told me, go home and wash. Now, let me back up and tell you the situation. She had a skin disease where she had pimples all over her body. Now, when she's telling me, she doesn't have any of this, but she's showing me the phone. And she said, these are the pictures. She saw my wife and I in the past. These are the pictures of me before this happened. This is a week later, she's telling us. And her skin is just like all of ours. And she said, I had all these pictures documented because I was going to a dermatologist because I've had this skin disease for years. And so she said, the Lord told her when she stood up, go home and wash. And she goes home, Pastor Tony, she turns the sink on, she grabs the soap, washes her hand, puts her hand in the sink, and all the pimples run off and go down the drain. Now, I'm not on any psychotropic medicine or anything like that. This is real. This lady, we didn't record. You know, if we had a television ministry, it would be recorded, documented, you know, and all this other stuff. Anyway, well, I don't want a television ministry. I don't look good on camera. Ask the people. Why? How? How could this happen? How could these things happen? We don't have any magic. None of us do. How many miracles have happened in your ministry? So many miracles. Some of you that have been praying for people, miracles have happened because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the proof. It's the proof of the resurrection of what he's done. When am I supposed to stop? I forgot. 9. Ooh. Well, I can do some of those teachings that I've been longing to teach for. No, I'm not going to go that long because I want to pray for what I feel the Lord is been releasing. So all of this, these healings, all these things. Let's just look at this scripture that now tells us both of the resurrection and the ascension. It's not only the resurrection, but then after a period of time, the Lord ascends. And the effect it has on all creation. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. It says, but to each one of us, the grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Just think, he's thinking about you. He thinks about you. He apportioned it, meaning he measured it out individually to different ones. He knows you. He knows your name. He sees you. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. I mean, put your mind on that for a while, how Christ filled everything. I mean, it's amazing. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So when it says he filled, it's a total filling of everything. Part of the also of the proof of the resurrection is what Christ has done in his church and how your faith is developing as we submit to him. He's filling. He's doing stuff in our life. And now I'll tell you this, it's not just when we say he's filling, it's not just that we're filled with the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. That's tremendous. We need that. But there's areas in our life that Christ wants to come in and fill that room or that area. He wants to take control. He wants all of us, but sometimes we kind of come in steps. You know, we surrender in steps. But Christ wants to fill us completely. He wants victory in those areas. He wants victory in those areas. I'm just gonna say that this word has been since last night. Pastor James, I think, had it. Pastor Lily mentioned it. But You know, the sexual sin, pornography. I tell you, he wants to fill that area to push it out. You can't, it's not just trying to stop it. It's, you got to get filled with something, because if it's empty, it will get filled with something else. And we got to fill it with the things of Christ. The loneliness, low self-esteem. These are words of knowledge for people here. Please grab a hold of it, because we're going to pray for you in a few minutes. The different areas, the area of rejection, of feeling bad about yourself because of either, and this is two different, these are two different people. One is because what a girlfriend did to you years ago, and you're still laboring under that thing, and it's been years, years and years. And the other one is for a lady, because your spouse left, and the way he has treated you, and you're still under that, and that thing is trying to make its identity in you, but that's not what your identity is. Your identity is, you are a child of the King. You're a child of Christ. And he wants to fill. He wants to fill those areas. He wants to give us victory. He doesn't only want to break chains. He wants to empower us. You understand that? So when we get free from something, he doesn't just want that thing to be cleansed. That's the first thing. It has to be cleansed. But then he wants to fill it. He wants to fill that area with himself, with power, with anointing, with his presence. He wants to fill us. Would you please stand with me? Hallelujah. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Try not to get distracted now, please. I know there's some moving around. I recognize there's things we have to do, but if you don't have to, the Holy Spirit wants to, Christ wants to fill these areas, that we might be not only free, but empowered for Him. You know, we give God glory by surrendering our lives. We testify to the goodness of God by the life we live, by His grace. We don't have the ability to live the way God wants us to live, but we have the ability to allow Him to come in and take over so we can live the way God wants us to live. Holy Spirit, I just thank you. Thank you. If this message is spoken to you and you have an area in your life that you want Him to fill, that you want to be overcoming in, you want it to be broken off, you want it to be empowered. I'm going to open up this front. This is the last time that we can pray for you corporately like this. And please, if you're here, it's not a badge to me if so many people come forward. That's not that. What it is the more people that the Holy Spirit, that Christ can touch, the greater the impact, and the greater the impact for this church and on your society and possibly the world. Father, thank you. Thank you. Just come. Just come. You know who you are. Just come. Even if we didn't mention those things that are there, just come and let the Holy Spirit enter, fill, and touch. We're going to open up this whole place. Just come on.